For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Did y'all miss me? I missed you guys. Just got back from Vegas with some really good friends. Just watched basketball nonstop. So I kept postponing this show. I wanted to let the Florida UConn game finish before I went live. So sorry about that if that affected anybody. But man, I wrote this episode before I left. And this is one, shout out to my man, Jared S. He gave me the idea. And basically, very simple question. What picks would you love at 11? What picks would you hate at 11? We got 26 players that fit into different categories. Now, as with most things, I struggle with making it as simple as love-hate. So that was not enough categories because there were just players that just did not fit into those two. I feel like a little Donnie Darko on the love-hate or fear spectrum. Anybody? Anyway? No? Okay. So I went with five categories, okay? Picks I would love, picks I would like, picks I would understand, picks I would not like, and then picks I would hate. And I have at least four in each category, some up to six. So this is a spectrum of players. And I understand this is going to be a little bit more subjective based on my rankings of these players, positions of need, premium position players, all those different things. So we're going to start at the bottom, players I would hate, work up to players I would not like, but I wouldn't hate. I understand it. They're good players. Players I would understand, players I would like, and then players I would love. And if you want to throw in, if you're watching this live and you want to put something in the chat, player I love, player I'd hate, so on and so forth, throw that in there. We could try to add that into the show as well. And shout out to my man Invader. This is at 11, okay? Ideally, a trade back is ideal with this draft. And that's the thing. Like, I have 26 players that fall into these categories that I think are legitimate possibilities at 11. And I'm sure some of the names I say, you're going to discount and say, I don't think that's a possibility. And that's fair. That's fair. But that is a testament to the 2025 NFL draft class. I think that there are maybe four elite players in this draft. There's not much of a difference if you're picking at five as if you're picking at 28. It's just the way it goes. So what hopefully the 49ers can accomplish is filtering out players that don't fit, players that don't love football, players that have off-the-field stuff, players that have work ethic issues. I don't know the answers to those questions. So we'll see. And Invader says, you know, I wonder if they traded down, if they would be more likely to trade up from 43 back into the first and get another fifth-year option. They did that with Kinlaw, right? You dropped down, got Kinlaw, traded up, got Ayuk. You got two guys on the fifth-year option. They didn't use either one. Imagine if the 49ers would have used either one. Should you have kept Kinlaw? No, but with how he played and how he got paid, still no. I don't think that it would have been worth it. But I wish you would have let Brandon Ayuk play on that fifth-year option. Imagine where the 49ers would be right now. You would be scot-free. You would have been able to wash your hands of that situation. And so, but the 49ers don't use fifth-year options ever. Even Nick Bosa, a huge holdout, whatever else. You signed him to all that money, didn't use that. Like, the 49ers have never actually had a player play on the actual fifth-year option. Never have. So we'll see as we move forward. Hopefully, it's not going to take place in a while because you haven't had first-round picks in a while. I think Ricky Pearsall, that's the first guy, and you won't even find that out for another 3 years. So I know the fifth-year option is important for some teams. Niners have never used it. Never used it. I think that is a mistake. You should have used it on Ayuk 100%. 100%. So I love this. It's always fun whenever you get a player that people would hate and people would love. Tony Meredith says, Mykael Williams, love, 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 love. He's not in my love category. We'll have to find out where he is. Look at Josh. What's up, brother? He says, Nick Skorzon will be the best pick in this draft. He's not in my love category either. In fact, I have Skorzon and Mykael Williams in the same category. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. Right here, Mosquito Killer. Man, it feels like forever since the championship. I took 2 days off. It was crazy. I was on the plane ride, and I'm like, ooh, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? So, yeah, I will not be leaving you guys at any time in the near future. I got my two-day break, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Oscar, he's going with major positions of need. Love, linebacker, tackle, DN, DT. You know what? Let me look at it. Yep, yep. Ooh, I don't have, and this is going to probably upset some people, I don't have a defensive end in my love category. Ooh, I did not recognize that. I did not. I have all the other positions. Would hate a wide receiver, tight end, guard, corner, center, safety. Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'd hate Stewart at 11. I would as well. So let's get started right there, Invader. Players I would hate if the Niners picked at 11. There are five. My number one player I would hate is Shamar Stewart. I would defensive end, Texas A&M. He's my number 51st player. He's an athletic specimen. He's amazing against the run game. Never had more than two sacks in a season. Never produced. Combine warrior. Better combine athlete than he is a football player. Now, he's not a bad football player. I have a second round grade on him. 51st player on my board, but it's just like you are drafting 100% on potential, and there are players with better potential at the same position that are way more productive. Like, people hate Mykael Williams. I know a lot of people don't want that, but I'm telling you right now, like, Mykael Williams, he's not as athletic, but he's bigger. He weighs more than Shamar Stewart and way more production in the same conference for 3 years. You look at Mykael Williams' worst year of production, it is twice to three times better than anything Shamar Stewart has. And so you look at all the mock drafts, Shamar Stewart's going high, really, really high, way too high. I would hate that pick. One, yeah, I do not like Texas A&M, but I have his teammate several categories, Nick Skorzon, higher than Shamar Stewart. So it's not like an anti-A&M thing. I just don't like the way this dude plays. I don't like it. You watch him against Armon Membu. Good Lord. Membu turned that dude into a folding chair. like literally bent him in half again in pass pro. It's just not there. And when two sacks is your career high through 3 years, it's an issue. It's an issue. And right here, West Coast offense. I don't want Donovan Ezeraku at 11. He's not even in my consideration. He didn't even make the 26. I like Donovan Ezeraku, but he's I didn't even put him in this chart. I think he's a second-round option because of his physical limitations. That I didn't put him in there. What's up, Jax? Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. You guys are awesome. So, other players I would hate. Both safeties. I am out on both top safeties, Malachi Starks and Nick Emanwori, for different reasons. Starks, I think, is a nickel at best. I think he's a nickel. I really, really do. I think that is his position. And we have, I would argue, a top two nickel in the NFL already in D'Amador Lenore. I don't want to play Starks in the box. Why? Because we have a box safety. I don't want to play Starks at free safety because I don't think that's what he excels at. You look at his tape. I didn't think at any point whenever I watched Starks did I think this is a beast free safety. Now, he ran a 4.50. He's got the speed. I understand that. But I'm just telling you, it's not really where I want him to play. It's not. I just don't think that's where he excels. You put him in the slot, you put him in the box, that's where he is. That's why I'm kind of out on it. I didn't think his 2024 tape was near as good as his past. And then Nick Emanwori, yeah, physical freak. No doubt about it. And is he worthy of that high of a pick? 4.38 speed. I got it. He's a freak. You're talking 6'3", 220. I get it. I think he's a box player. I don't want to draft a guy and put him in a situation where he's not going to excel. Does he have the speed and the size to play free safety? Yes. But you are taking away his aggressiveness. You are taking away his tackling. Like, I just don't want that from a Nick Emanwori perspective, and I don't think a positional value perspective either. I don't have, like, okay, so I have Malachi Starks 23 on my board and Nick Emanwori 24. Both studs. Both absolute studs. Both worthy of that pick. Ah, man. And right here, I saw this big time on tape, Ben. Emanwori plays with very inconsistent effort. Yes. And there are several plays where they're Jair Brown bad coming to fill the alley where he just takes himself full speed and just like doesn't even couldn't get the guy in flag football because he just bullet missile and the angle trajectory tracking is so off. Now, you put together a highlight tape, Nick Emanwori, man, that's a top 10 pick. You watch the game film, nah, it's just not there for me. I'm just going to be honest. He's stud, just not at 11. Not at 11. I would hate that pick. Next up, Josh Simmons. Gosh, if he was not injured, I would have him as probably a top six player. Best left tackle tape, but the ACL, patella, all that stuff, just the injury alone. Now, I'm not in the medical checks room, so I have no clue how he is going, and maybe he's going to be show up. He's young. He could show up and just be elite. Who knows? Not at 11. Not in this draft. I think that there are two tackles that are cleaner that I would much rather have. But for Josh Simmons, I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Not at 11. And yeah, Josh right here. Huge no on Simmons with that injury. It's just the injury. It's just the injury. That's the only issue. The patella, I can't do it. I can't do it. Chad. Uninjured, I'd have Simmons number three on the Niners big board. Yeah. And the funny thing is, Josh Simmons not injured, you're not getting him. There is no cleaner tackle. He would be above Armand Membu on every single team's board. He would be. He's my 16th player on my board. I dropped him some, but nah, I'm just not doing it. West Coast offense, Simmons could be like Drake in a few years. Yeah, we already have experienced the patella tear. Drake Jackson, where's he been? He had one game with three sacks and then just disappeared. That's it. So, yeah, I got nothing to do with that. And then my last pick that I would hate, Luther Burden, wide receiver. I don't even have a first round grade on Luther Burden. I think that he is a damn good wide receiver that has been pushed up a lot of boards because this is a weak wide receiver draft. Luther Burden is a stud. If he is there at 43, where the Niners picked the second one, and again, back to Invader's idea of trading up, right? Trade back to trade up. Man, if you could do that and Luther Burden, you get him in the second, I absolutely love that. But 6'2", 206, 4.41 speed, good, good, good. But I just don't like the acceleration's not there for what you see on tape. He's a better football player than athlete. There's no doubt about that. The versatility's off the charts. He's a poor man's DJ Moore. There's room for that in the NFL, especially in Kyle Shanahan's system. But I don't believe, I don't think that he's a first-round player. I don't care what draft he came out in. He's a second-round guy. Now, I felt the same way about Ricky Pearsall. He went in the first round, 31. I think that was a reach. Now we're talking pick 11. That's it's just too much. I have several wide receivers. Let me just check my big board here.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Which I'm so excited. I got 2 weeks to finish our draft book and our big board, but I have 3 wide receivers ahead of Luther Burden, and I have them tied with Jaden Higgins. They're like kind of back to back for me. I might move Jaden Higgins above him. I think Jaden Higgins is top end is a little bit better. It's considerably better. But not that I don't like Luther Burden. I just think it's weird because he's seen as that Debo role, just get him the ball and whatever else. And yeah, his body control is great. His acceleration was terrible. Not terrible. It's bad. He ran a 1.54 10-yard split. That's a 6 out of 10 against these wide receivers in this class. It's a bad wide receiver class. His top end speed's off the charts, 22.8 miles per hour on the GPS tracker. That's elite. But it takes a while to get there. So you mean to tell me you've got a kind of ball carrier, you know, X factor that doesn't have elite acceleration, and you look at his like tackle breaking, whatever, or his contested catches, and it's just like, man, not great. I think he's a good player. I think he tracks the ball as well. Like maybe the best in this class. That's his elite trait. It's just tracking the ball when it's in the air. But I just, there's something about it where I'm just like, I don't see the elite factor. I cannot see a pathway for this guy to have 1,400 plus yards in the NFL. I just can't see. Even if you plug him into the Debo role, I don't know. Yeah, Restrepo over Burden. I haven't finished my 3 game tapes on Restrepo, so he's not on my big board yet. I got 2 down. I got 1 more to go. But I like Restrepo. I don't think I will have him ranked over Burden, but I would completely understand if you value space and route running. I get that. I totally understand that. Dante Thornton, fun player. Yeah, fun player. Again, not in this conversation. So to wrap up my first category, players I would hate: Shamar Stewart, Malachi Starks, Nick Emanwori, Josh Simmons, Luther Burden. All great players. And the reason why I would hate them is because the positions or the injuries or the lack of eliteness or the lack of fit. That's why those five are there. Okay. Now let's get into the play, the picks or the players that I would not like. I don't hate these guys. And if the Niners took them at 11, I'd be like, nah, I don't hate it, but I wouldn't like it. It would not be my choice. And these guys, here's what's crazy, especially these first two, they are ranked way higher than a lot of other players. So this is the best player available, like, section. Ashton Jeanty, I do not want that pick. I would not like that. I wouldn't hate it because he's so damn elite. He's the number four player on my board. But you're paying Christian McCaffrey the most in the NFL the next 2 years. The most. I think Saquon Barkley just entered, just outpaced him. But, like, you better make that work. You better make that work. So Ashton Jeanty, four, I would not like that pick. I think that is just a huge, gross misuse of funds at a running back position where if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, can't take him off the field. Kyle Shanahan won't, even if he's not healthy. We saw that last year, right? I just would not like that pick. Real quick, super chat from Silent. Thank you for your generosity, my friend. Has the lack of offensive development from the offensive line and defensive line, lack of development from O-line, D-line since 2017, been a scouting issue, a Shanahan issue, or a position coach problem? Whose fault and how to fix it? Chris Kucerik has not helped anybody at all, period. I like Chris Kucerik. I think he's a very good coach, but nobody has been better with us than after Arden Key left. That was it. Charles Minnehue, Arden Key, that was it. You got to coach some guys up. They got to get better. Jordan, and how much of that last year, defensive line wise, a little bit of an anomaly because Nick Sorensen ruined everybody's career for a year. Worst defensive coordinator in 49ers history. But, yeah, Kucerik hasn't developed anyone. Nobody. Literally no one. We have one NFL defensive lineman currently on our roster. One. It's Nick Bosa. Now, you want to talk Sam O? Okay. Etur Gross-Matos. He's a rotational piece that was really, really bad last year. Very inconsistent. He had some moments, but, man, again, literally cost us the season in that Seahawks game. Given, even if you won the Seahawks game and you didn't let Geno Smith do what he did, you're still not making the playoffs. But you go back at that fourth quarter drive, Etur Gross-Matos had like three horrible plays in a row where he literally stopped running in the middle of a play because he was tired. Like, that's Chris Kucerik. Rotate him out. That's Etur Gross-Matos. Come on, man. You got to have some pride. It's fourth quarter. But yes, positional coaches big time. Scouting department, you didn't even draft a defensive lineman last year. So, like, you didn't even draft one. I don't put that on the scouts. That's a personnel decision. You went and got an extra guard whenever you had like six guards on your active roster, not one defensive lineman. So I think it's a roster construction issue. You're not valuing the defensive line anymore. You're not. No replenishing with youth. You got lucky with Evan Anderson as an undrafted free agent. That's awesome. I think he's a promising player that you can build around, but yeah, Chris Kucerik would be number one. Well, Nick Sorensen, but he's gone. But Kucerik's a big deal. I'm not putting on the scouts because you didn't even draft one. So, anyway. You kind of take that for what you will. But, yeah, it's an issue. You have to build better. Now, back to my picks I would not like. Tet McMillan at number nine. I don't like that pick. He's the ninth player on my board. Niners would be better. Now, if you trade Ayuk, which, again, would be stupid. That's dumb. Ayuk should be a part of your foundation for Brock Purdy moving forward. Him and Pearsall, like, I like that. I want to be – is Ayuk going to be 100% this year? No. But it's a long-term play, and you already paid him. And so I don't care about saving Jed any more money. It's not going to hurt the cap. We have $40-plus million on the cap this year we're not even going to touch. We're not even going to use it. So it ain't a cap issue anymore. It's just dead cap and Jed York. I don't care about Jed York's pocketbook. Don't care. So I would not like it if we traded Ayuk and drafted Tet McMillan. I would not like that. He's a good player, no doubt about it. But no, you've got to build in the trenches. Will Johnson, I've got him in picks I wouldn't like. I don't like the injuries. Dude's not healthy throughout all season. He's not healthy at the combine. He's not healthy at his pro day. Turf toe, ankle, shoulder. Makes business decisions on the regular. That's on tape throughout the entire year. Now his upside off the charts, exactly how you draw a corner. But no, I don't want somebody that makes business decisions in college already. I don't want somebody that cannot stay healthy. And I don't want a corner with bad wheels. I don't want it. Is his upside through the charts? Yes. I mean, you're talking Derek Stingley. Like, he could be that. I was super high on Derek Stingley. Why? Because, yeah, Derek Stingley had an injury year before he came out, but then he had a full solid year of production, and it was just his ceiling was higher than Will Johnson. Everybody remembers Will Johnson in the national championship game, and that was awesome. He was the MVP. Unbelievable. The kid's had three injuries since then. I do not want a corner with bad wheels. His tape is great, but I don't think that he fits the Niners' attitude whenever it comes to playing the run. I don't think that he does. I just do not see it. Just don't see it. Tyler Warren. I would not like that pick. Not because I don't like Tyler Warren. He's 14th on my big board. I think he's a premium player. He's my tight end too. But I don't want to spend that pick on a tight end position whenever you already have George Kittle, and I expect George Kittle to be around for another 3 years. Even if you're going to go with more 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends, I still cannot find a way for him to get more than 20 to 25 snaps a game. And you just paid your biggest contract at free agency was a tight end too. So now, like, I just don't like it. Again, I don't like spending all those resources on a non-premium position like tight end for a guy that's going to get 20 to 25 snaps. And again, I've talked about this in the past. I think Tyler Warren is a special piece in the NFL. However, the track record for guys with his skill set is a very, very low success rate. You find guys with Colston Loveland's skill set, they all excel. Do you win on routes and hands and catching through contact, or do you win by being a freak athlete and just having a skill set of being able to run with the ball? You go with the route runner every single time at the tight end position. And the problem is, with Tyler Warren, he's one of the worst blockers in this draft. One of the worst. One of the not worst route runners, not a good route runner. So Colston Loveland is actually bigger than Tyler Warren. He runs better routes than Tyler Warren, and he has better hands than Tyler Warren, and he blocks better. He's bigger. And so, like, for me, I love Tyler Warren, but you brought back Juice to a 2-year deal. You're going to assign an extension to Kittle. You paid your largest contracted free agency the tight end two spot already. That's why I don't like it. I just would not like that pick. He's a damn good player. It doesn't make sense. If you're going to move on from George Kittle after this year, maybe. But if you do that, you're stupid. Because George Kittle's a value. That dude's one of the best wide receivers. You compare his metrics to wide receivers in routes per run and all that, the explosives, it's off the charts. He's like the only tight end in the top like 30 for yards per route run and, you know, just explosive plays. So, Tommy, look at this. Tyler Warren is Pitts 2.0 overhyped. They win different ways. But, yeah, I'm out. I'm sorry. Jalen Walker, another pick I would not like. I did not enjoy his tape. You watch the Texas game, he's great. Any other game, I don't like him as an off-ball linebacker. You look at him as an edge player. I've got him 26 on my board just because of the athleticism. He should go to a 3-4 team. He should go to a team that, you know, can – I don't know. His production's good. His athleticism's great. I get it. I see it. Not at 11 for me. I just don't see it. I don't see it. And the last one picks I would not like, Matthew Golden, Texas. I think he is a stud. He's my number two wide receiver, number 15 on my big board. I think he's great. But again, misuse of resources. That's why I have him here. I love Matthew Golden. That dude's going to be solid for somebody. But no, stop it, Kyle. Stop it. Stop using picks on the outside, build on the inside. So that's my picks I would not like category. We got three categories to go. I got picks I would not understand. Picks I would understand. I get it. picks I would like, and then picks I would love. Now, the draft is huge for the 49ers this year. And if you're coming, if you want to watch the draft the best way possible, man, come join us.
I am so excited. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is heading into year six. We started back in 2019, and we're coming home to the Bay Area. For the draft, we're going to be live downtown in the North Beach area at the historic Broadway Studios for day one and day two of the NFL draft. So come join us. We're going to have join the faithful live broadcast of draft picks as they are coming in live time with full TVs. We got big screens. We've got trivia. We've got giveaways and much, much more. Doors will open one day before or 1 hour before the draft starts on both days. And if you're coming from work, no worries. If your ticket, you buy your ticket, automatic guaranteed entrance, show up whenever you can. Kids get in free. And if you are struggling trying to get your youngsters to be more on board with the 49ers or the draft or whatever, bring them out to an event. They get in free with a ticketed adult, and we make sure our entire team knows kids come first. Every single youngster leaves with something tangible that they can tie to this experience. Come give it a shot. Tickets are currently only $20 for each day. That's it. We're not trying to make a lot of money on this. We're just trying to build a wonderful experience. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Get your tickets today for day one and day two of the NFL draft. Prices will go up, but with where they are right now, just $20 a piece and kids get in free. Join us, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. All right, let's get to the players I would understand. I think that these are perfect fits that make sense. It's not my favorite guys. I got four of these. One of them we already talked about. That's Mikael Williams. I totally understand. I think he is the prototypical defensive end for the 49ers and how they want to build it. Size-wise, height, weight, you know, 6'5", 260. He's built right. He's got pedigree. He's got 3 years of production. Now, this past year, not a good year. He injured his ankle week one, played through it the whole time. Now he's tested and, you know, all that stuff. I really, really like this player. It's number 20 on my big board. But again, there's three positions that always get bumped up. Quarterbacks, offensive tackles, defensive ends. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't love it. But every time I watch Mikael Williams, I'm like, dude, this guy just looks like an NFL starting defensive end that teams will covet. If you look at what Will Anderson did with the Tennessee Titans, it's like Mikael would be that guy. Is he as elite an athlete? No, but, you know, he went, you know, pick two. We're talking pick 11. And so right here, Uncle Salty, Georgia D-line only seemed to do well in Philly. Well, they got all of them. They got all of them. And again, this is a pick I would understand category. I get the logic. Not my favorite. I don't like it a lot, but it makes sense. Nick Scorton, he fits in that, Josh. He's the number 32 player on my big board. I have a second round grade. But when you watch Nick Scorton, and you watch anybody next to Shamar Stewart, you're going to like the other guy better. But Nick Scorton's tape and pass rush arsenal, it's pretty damn solid, man. This dude can kind of do it all. And he can bulk up. He can go down. He can do, you know, kind of all that stuff. Because if you want him small, you can do that. 6'3", 257. But he's played at like 6'3", 270. So 6'3", 257, a little bit light. But whenever you watch kind of the power and versatility he plays with, so good versus the run. Like he's a box checker. He's the Armon Mimbu of defensive ends, where it's just like, man, he's just a good damn player. Now, is the production elite? No. But really, really good player. Just really, really, really good player. I would get it. I would understand. I don't like it. Again, second round player. He's number 32 on my big board. I would much rather prefer to get him later, but he ain't going to be there when you pick 43. Will not be there. I would take him. Joy. I would take Nick Scorton over a receiver. He says, I would rather them take a receiver over Shamar Stewart. I would be cool with that too. And then this is probably the anomaly, and I know I'm higher on this player than almost everybody else. That's Colston Loveland. I don't
want them to pick him. I would not love it. I would not like it, but I would understand it. You went and got a tight end too that is a blocker. You need a tight end move piece that can run routes. Colston Loveland fits that. I don't think Tyler Warren does. Now, you put Tyler Warren in the Deebo role. Okay, cool. But Colston Loveland translates to this team better. I'd understand it because he's a pure route runner that gets, you know, better separation than Tyler Warren does. He's a quarterback's best friend. He makes difficult catches on the regular. I would understand it. I have Colston Loveland 12, and I think he fits what the Niners want more than Tyler Warren does currently. And I know a lot, most people disagree with me on this, and that's okay. Disagreements are a good thing. The last player I have in my picks I would understand category, that's Donovan Jackson. Offensive tackle, offensive guard, wherever you want to put him, I don't care. I have him the 17th player on my big board. He's just so damn clean. And if it wasn't for the Josh Simmons injury, you got to see this guy play left tackle all throughout the playoffs and dominate everyone. Everyone. He is just so free. He is the definition, kind of like Joe Thuney type player for New England Patriots that they get. That's just, he's just a great offensive lineman. We'll play him guard. We'll play him center. We'll play him tackle. We'll play him everywhere. Donovan Jackson's that guy. Do I want the 49ers to pick him? No, but I could see it. Like, he is a Dominic Pooney type guy that just you plug and play and you just get consistent, amazing production wherever you put him. But he's already, like, again, you look at where he has played. Let me pull up his write-up. He's played everywhere. 31 left guard starts. Like, he was just perennial left guard guy for Ohio State. Then Josh Simmons go down. Oh, we're going to put you at 7 starts in the college football playoff at left tackle. He just dominates everything. He's just so freaking good. He's awesome, man. Whoever gets Donovan Jackson, it's not going to be sexy. You are getting a 10-year starter. He is so freaking clean. So freaking clean. Ah, man. So that's my smallest category. Picks I understand. Like, if I was to dive into the 49ers brain, like Donovan Jackson, he just starts at left guard this year. And when Trent leaves, if you want to bump him out, you could. Or you could just say, hey, we just got the best guard tandem in the NFL with Dominic Pooney and Donovan Jackson. But at pick 11, it's a little too rich, but he could play tackle. Like, he could. He's proven he can do it against elite. So, man. So good. All right, here we go. My final two categories, which I love. Picks I like, then the last one will be picks I would love. Okay? This is my largest category. Picks I like. I would like Will Campbell. He's 13 on my big board. Again, he's a higher upside Donovan Jackson. He's played exclusively left tackle. The crazy short arms, that's a killer. Again, the pathway for Will Campbell, you know, I did the mock draft with BD Peacock. We took Will Campbell. He starts left guard right off the bat. And again, very similar to Donovan Jackson, way higher ceiling, way more athleticism. Dude, you just start left guard year one. Let's see how it goes. We can keep you there, or we can bump you out when Trent's done. And I think that he could play left tackle. But, man, under 63-inch arms, he is an anomaly. Nobody in the history of the NFL has been drafted as a left tackle with that short of arms. He would be the first. But you've got work ethic, A+, character, A+, athleticism, A+. Experience, A+. It's just short arms. And he did struggle with short arms. There's no doubt about that. Like, when people are like, oh, show me the tape where he struggled. They're like, oh, dude, you just watch. Like, it's there. Who was the guy that he struggled with? Let me see here. Yeah, Texas A&M, he struggled. Like, whenever he got those, like Nick Scorts on, he struggled with them. USC struggled. Alabama struggled. Like, those were his worst three games that I watched. But, God, he's so freaking good. Just really, really quality player. 6'6", 319. Tiny hands, tiny arms, but so athletic. Would fit in Shanahan's scheme. So, left guard, golly, man. I would like this pick a lot. Mike Green, one of the best speed edge rushers in this draft. He's picked 25 on my board, but has been kicked out at not one, but two, dismissed is probably the right way to say it. Not one, but two universities for allegations that took place off the field in a sexual nature. I don't know how you mess with that, but the 49ers met with them. They have completely steered clear of these players in the past since Reuben Foster. They haven't touched them. But, yeah, I get it because he's a damn good player. He fits the Niners' need. He's tough as hell. He's mean as hell. Production's elite. He fits what the 49ers want in a football player on the field. The tape matches. It's the off-the-field stuff. I get it. He's a damn good player. Niners met with him. They used one of their 30 visits on him, so there is some interest here. I don't see it. But, man, from a football perspective, God, I would like it a lot. He is a need. That position is a need. It's a premium position. You're invested in deep, like, oh, I get it. Next up, James Pierce Jr. A lot of people are really off on him because you see the frame and you're like, no. But the tape is way better than the frame suggests. James Pierce Jr. is number 11 on my big board. He has the best havoc rate of all the defensive ends in this draft. Better than Abdul Carter. Now, would I take him over Abdul Carter? No. But he's 6'5", 245. Like, he's got good weight. And everybody's like, well, he's a speed guy. The biggest problem with James Pierce is he doesn't have the bend. Because he is a speed guy, he doesn't flatten that arc very well. But he's good against the run. In fact, he has an 84 run grade. You see the frame and you see his body and you're like, oh, he's not going to be able to hold against the run. He did in the SEC for several years. The production is there. The elite first step. He's fast as hell. He's not a negative run player. If he was, like everybody supposes, just based on how he's built, but watch the damn tape, guys. Now, we've got a breakdown up on almost all these players over on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel. Go watch the tape. He's not a bad run player. Probably one of his significant traits that does not get highlighted enough. He diagnoses run plays based on the offensive line, his under key, better than almost anybody in this draft. And so because he can anticipate what the tackle's doing, whenever he gets that down block, I mean, he spills guard tackle counter very, very well. He wrong shoulders incredibly well. He's got player IQ. Now, there are some character concerns. Does he love football? Whatever else. But whenever I watch him, I'm like, this guy watches game tape. He does not miss the weight room. He is built. Dude looks like an Olympic sprinter. But I don't know. He had a formal meeting with the 49ers at the Combine. So he's one of those 30. And yeah, I get it. There's people out there like, character. I can't find any coach, any negative. It's not off the field stuff. It's just, does he love football? The Niners have to determine that. He fits the need. He's better in the run than Mike Green is. Just disrupting. Best havoc rate in the NFL or any of these defensive ends. I would really like this pick. Do I love it? Nah. For the questions I brought up. Is he the type of guy that goes around 11? Yes. In this draft? Yes. Yeah. So that's where I have him in my like. Next up, by far one of my favorite players in this draft. Gold helmet guy. I have no doubt. Jahdae Barron. You're seeing Daniel Jeremiah just mocked him to the 49ers. He's the number 7 player on my board. He has the second best quarterback rating allowed when targeted out of every DB in this draft. He has the second best run grade of any DB in this draft. He is just a complete player. Versatility, level 10. Safety, slot, outside corner, check, check, check. Best corner, best defensive back. He won the Jim Thorpe Award. Fast as hell, tough as hell, mean as hell. Plays the closest college scheme that the Niners run defensively for their corners in all of college. You got the system fit. Now he has shorter arms. And so like you get your teams that are threshold teams. They're going to like Will Johnson because he's got those long arms, whatever else. Well, you look at Jahdae Barron, he's 5'11", 194, 29 and 5/8 inch arms. That's the knock. He does not have the elite length, but he ran a 4.39. Show me on tape where he gets beat by elite, you know, because he has shorter arms. This ain't like Will Campbell. You can't find it. It does not exist. Now, some people are going to be like, well, he's a nickel guy only. I disagree. Dude won the Jim Thorpe outside. Nobody could throw against him. Watch him against Jeremiah Smith, who is going to be a top three pick in the NFL in 2 years. He's the only guy that had success against him consistently. Oh, man, I really love Jahdae Barron. The problem is, and why he's in my light category, I think the 49ers have much bigger needs at more premium positions. Defensive tackle, defensive end, I hold above corner. Now, you could consider cornerback to be a premium position. I don't have a problem with that. But we already have two young corners locked up for three more years. I would rather get a day two or day three corner to fight for that spot. Trey Brown, dude, I like Trey Brown, but he should be a corner four or five, not your corner three, which he is right now. Dude's making almost league minimum. They finally leaked out the deal and made it super hush. Tells you what they think about him. Like, he basically, it's like a $1 million deal. You got to draft a corner. I would prefer to draft a corner in the second or one of those. Oh, look at this. Yeah, little quick announcement. Me and Simple Jack, Rob Louder, we're going to be doing a show together Wednesday. And so stay tuned for that. That's going to be fun. Striking Gold and 49ers Rush together. Ooh, man, that gets me a little excited. That's right. So Wednesday, so go check out Striking Gold if you haven't yet. If you're looking for a great 49ers podcast, there ain't nobody better than Rob Louder. He's coach, great guy, great dad, just great, great dude. Go check it out. We're going to do a show together Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. So anyway, I like Jahdae Barron. It's just, I think you got to go inside. Okay. Two more picks that I like. Walter Nolan. I love me some Walter Nolan, and I know other people that are just right here. Josh says, Nolan at 11 hurts my soul. Why does that hurt your soul? I think Walter Nolan's a great player. I am way lower on him than others. I say that. He's my number 21st player on my big board. I get the pedigree. You know, number one player coming out of high school. The production's good. The tape is good. I like him. I like him. I like him. There's just always something where I'm just like, what is wrong here? What is wrong here? I don't know. Something is missing. Something is just not there. And I don't know why. I really don't. Because I think he's really, really good. I really, really like him. But there's, and I can't put my finger on it. I'm just being very, very honest here. Something just seems a little not good. The tape is great. But why am I not in love with him like everybody else? 49ers met with him in the combine. 6'4", 296. Versatility, strength, anchor. A-plus disruptor. He plays everywhere. I just don't know. He can play DN. He can do it all. There's just something that just says, I don't know. That's on me. That's on me. I just can't fall in love with him. I wish I could. Everybody else does. You know, Peacock loves him. Larry loves him. Everybody loves him. I like him. He's just not my, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm a little dumbfounded. So, like, you get these players when you watch them and you're just like, oh, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this my guy. This is my guy. Walter Nolan's not that for me. Doesn't mean he's not amazing. It's just, that's where he is. Now, sorry, I forgot. I do have one more player, and that's Kenneth Grant. He's a player I would like. He makes sense. You're basically Jalen Carter, right? Two down run stuffer who can play the pass a little bit, but that's not his strength. He's a player I would like. He is a player. The 49ers have the worst defensive tackle room in the NFL currently. He's a plug-and-play starter. It's going to help you stop the run. It's going to make your linebackers better. It's going to force third and longs. The reason why I like Kenneth Grant and don't love him is it's just really, really hard to target a defensive tackle that is not great versus the pass and offers so little. But if you're going to guarantee draft two or three defensive tackles, which you should this year, get your elite run stuffer. 11's a little too early for him, but damn good player. So he's a pick I would like. He's a pick I would like at 11. He's just too good. Like, I cannot find a way Kenneth Grant is not a quality NFL player starter for a long time in the NFL. It's just, it's hard to spend 11 on a situational rotated player. Now, the Eagles did it higher, right, with Jalen Carter, and that's panned out. He's not Jalen Carter, but he's that type of player where, hey, man, you go out there, you play first, second down, every single drive, and you get off the field. Like, you just, that's your job. It's hard to do that when the 49ers don't have the luxury and investment in the defensive tackle room like the Eagles have, where they had, hey, we got five defensive tackles that are going to rotate. Niners don't have that. That makes it a little harder. Now, hopefully you guys have enjoyed. We got one more combine or section left. That's picks I would love. I'm so excited about this. But if you're betting, I was in Vegas having the time of my life at a sportsbook nonstop for 2 days. I didn't place one bet at the sportsbook. You know why? I was betting on my phone. Everybody else stayed in the line. I was just on my bookie the whole time. I got better odds. I got instant payouts. It was faster than waiting in line at the sportsbook in Vegas. So if you're going to bet, this is where you got to go.
If you're serious about sports betting, you need a sportsbook that actually works for you. And that's why I use my bookie. I've been working with them for over 5 years now. And my bookie, you're in control. Better odds. Better wins, less hassle than other guys, with the biggest selection of player bets and prop bets. Early cash out options, live betting lets you jump in at any time. So if you miss it before tip-off or game time starts, guess what? You get to play your way. Whether you're locking in picks pregame, riding the action live, MyBookie makes sure you always have access to the action. It's not just sports. MyBookie hosts the party that never ends with full-fledged casino. They've got everything from blackjack, roulette, video poker, slots, you name it. So if you're new to MyBookie, sign up now with promo code 49ERS or use this QR code next to me. Get a deposit bonus up to $2,000. Remember, gambling is a marathon, not a sprint, and it's all about building up your funds over time. Don't settle for second-rate book. Bet smarter, win bigger, only at MyBookie.
All right, I saw Oscar in the chat. Sorry, I didn't start it. I kept trying to go back. He's like, where do I find the Havoc rate? Well, here is the Havoc rate chart that our team has put together. And again, this just shows you the defensive tackle Havoc rate. All of this is available on Patreon and the 49ers Rush podcast. If you're on Patreon, just type in spreadsheet on the search feature and it'll pull right up. And if you are on the 49ersrush.com, just go to our player breakdowns. It's under our draft where you're going to see post-combine spreadsheet. This is there, and it's going to be a part of our draft book and all that stuff. So any level, you get access to that. Here's the defensive tackle Havoc rate, and this is my first player that I love. I'm higher on this player than almost everybody else, and that is Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon. I would love this pick at 11. Would I like a trade back? Yes, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to trade back in this draft. And if you look at Derek Harmon, he's the second highest defensive tackle Havoc rate. 10% of plays. I mean, he is a great. Omar Norman Lott is at the top, and he's the number one on the Havoc rate. And I love Omar Norman Lott. I think that he is an option whenever you look at picks, you know, in the third round. I don't think that he's a complete defensive end, but he disruptions off the chart. Derek Harmon's complete defensive end. Whatever it is you want from a defensive tackle, you want size, you want versatility, you want great versus the run, you want pass rush, you want longevity, you want years of production. What do you want? He has it all. 21 years old, 6'4", 313, huge, 34 7/8 inch arms. If you're a threshold team and you're wanting to draft somebody with long ass arms, he fits that. 4'9", 5'40", athleticism, check. Met with the 49ers. I mean, he's one of the most three-down type defensive linemen in this draft. Elite, elite, elite. Production, elite. What do you want? Whatever you want, Derek Harmon has that. Now, 11 is a little rich. He's the 19th player on my board. He's my defensive tackle, too. Yeah, trade back would be ideal. But I'm telling you right now, I have him ahead of Walter Nolan, who has questions about work ethic. You don't have that with Derek Harmon. I have him ahead of Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant, elite run stuffer. Doesn't have the pass rush. But guess what? You jump over to Derek Harmon, he's got an 86.2, 91.1 true pass rush grade with a 17%. This dude wins one out of five snaps. Like, oh my gosh. I absolutely love Derek Harmon. I don't know why more people aren't behind him. Here's my draft write-up that is always working. Size, three-down ability, can win after losing. Disruptor with versatility, quick. The club move is his favorite. Anchors well versus double teams. Seems to have a very high football IQ. Recognizes blocks well. Led the NCAA in tackle for losses. Come on, man. Quick hands and awareness to know where blocks are coming from. Wish he played with more power. That is my one critique. Hands just flash all the time. Lives on the offensive side of the ball. Moves like a defensive end. Shows bend. He's got bend. He's got better bend than James Pierce. This dude, 313 pounds. Dominated the combine. I mean, he's just, oh, he's so freaking good. He's business major, smart. I cannot find major issues with just, I can't find the negatives. You look at production. Yeah, his sack numbers aren't super high at Michigan State before he transferred to Oregon, but he was still playing at a very consistent rate. So maybe you could say 1 year of elite production, that's a negative, but he's done it in two conferences. I really, really like Derek Harmon, guys. I don't know. I'm higher on him than almost everybody else. I understand that, but I would love this pick. I think it's a need. It's a premium position, three down versatility, loves football. Javon Hargrave 2.0. Yeah, that's not a bad thing. If you got Javon Hargrave, whenever he was coming out of the draft in the first round, he would have been worth it. You pay Javon Hargrave at 31. Not there. But the one thing Derek Harmon does better than Javon Hargrave is anchor against double teams. Hargrave's never been that guy. Harmon is that guy. The size, they have completely different builds. Hargrave is, 3 inches shorter and 20 pounds lighter. So I don't think that they're really, I would not put them in the same category of player or body types. But I love Derek Harmon. Next one. I'm a little shocked. I had this player in the light category. I couldn't do it because if we drafted him, I would love it. Jihad Campbell. I want to draft an offensive defensive lineman. I get that. I love Jihad Campbell. Linebacker, Alabama. He is by far one of my favorite players in this draft. And whenever I'm doing my write-ups and research and the team's helping and we're coming through all this, I think Jihad Campbell is what everybody wants Jaylon Walker to be. I have Jihad Campbell 8 on my big board. He's a top 10 player for me. I have Jaylon Walker 26. I would take the prototype, like Jihad Campbell, 6'3", 235. I like that way more than Jalen Carter. 4.52 40-yard dash, speed, great. No problem. 1.53. Oh, my God, 10-yard split. Are you kidding me? Listen to my ranking. Now, the problem, my only issue with Jihad Campbell is experience. He has a 2 on the experience scale. He's a 10 on versatility, 8 on speed, 9 on acceleration. There are no flaws to his game, just not a lot of tape. He's got a better body athleticism than Jalen Carter. I keep saying Jalen Carter. Jaylon Walker. I'm sorry, guys. I love Jihad Campbell. You draft him, and I think he's your number 2 linebacker, but you also, man, on pass downs, you move him down as edge rusher. You put him in your NASCAR package. I think that's what you could do with him. This is somebody that he's only played, let me see here. You look at just what he had, 150 defensive line snaps this in his career. He hasn't played much. That's the only knock, is he had to wait at Alabama because there are so many prominent players like this. He was recruited as an edge guy. He had 150 defensive line snaps. This dude had 7 sacks. He had 3 times the amount of sacks that Shamar Stewart has, and all Shamar Stewart plays his defensive line. This dude played 150 snaps. You want to blitz him from the linebacker spot? Great. Game speed, consistently great. Diagnosis plays quick and effectively. Great speed for a larger linebacker. Like, whoever gets Jahad Campbell in this draft, whatever team gets him, they're getting an A grade from me in the first round. Whoever takes him, I don't care if you take him top 6, you did what you were supposed to do. I just freaking love this guy, man. And torn labrum, like, I have a torn labrum right now. I got it skiing 2 years ago. I'm cheap, so I didn't go to the doctor to fix it because health insurance is an absolute joke in this place, but whatever. It still hurts. Still hurts. Anytime I do incline or chest, it still hurts. Torn my labrum. Like, I'm telling you right now, torn labrum, if he was a quarterback, sure. That's not a concern for me. Not for a linebacker. Separated shoulders, things like that, sure. Labrum is, you're reaching out to tackle a poor Jarrett back. It's kind of like a tricep tear issue for me at linebacker. It's not like a cornerback with a bum ankle. You can still hit with the torn labrum just fine. Just fine. So that's why it's not as big a deal to me. I would love this pick. I really, really would. Again, yeah, labrum, that's not what that is. Labrum is what, like, again, my issue is whenever I extend fully in an upright position, but you get that fixed. I'm 42. This dude's 21. Leadership, versatility, playmaking, dynamic, best coverage off ball. There's no negatives. The labrum, cool. If that's going to push you off of him, I'm just telling you right now, this kid is for real. He is for real. I love him. I love him. I would love that pick. And the labrum's not enough to push me off. If it was an ankle, if it was a knee, if it was a hip, if it was a separated shoulder or, you know, broken clavicle or something along the, like, not for me. He's not a quarterback. Sorry. That's just my own whatever. Take that for what you will. Take that for what you will. Now, next up, and again, this one I'm higher on than everybody else, and that's Kelvin Banks at number 10. Because I would love Kelvin Banks at that left guard spot, and I do think that he has elite top-end left tackle potential. I know other people, like, his athleticism, I thought he had a poor combine, but his tape is great. And he has played so well against elite guys for so long, 3 years of production. Again, the most similar scheme in college football is Texas. Sarkisian literally took Shanahan's scheme whenever he was the offensive coordinator at the Falcons before Shanahan came here. He took over, adapted, met with Shanahan, and has continued to meet with Shanahan. Shanahan meets with these players in Texas for 1 week out of the year in practice and helps them. I love Kelvin Banks. He's the number 10 player on my board. And again, if you want to look at metrics, we talked about havoc rate and why I love that. He has the lowest havoc rate of all the top offensive tackles, like, allowed. People don't have big plays against him. There was one game, and that was the Georgia game. Mikael Williams and Jalen Walker, they had a lot of success against him. But he only gave up 1 sack. He gave up some quarterback hits, gave up some tackle for losses. But 1 game, just consistent level of production. And the high end, I truly do see a player. His athletic profile is freaking, he's a taller, bigger Laremy Tunsil. That's the athletic profile. Now, is his tape that good? No. No, he's not. Laremy Tunsil was, I think, the number 1 player, maybe number 2 player on my board that year. But, like, I have him number 10. And I do think that he will be gone, Tommy, before 11. I do. But this is a guy I would love at 11 because he plays left guard year 1, maybe year 2, then you slide. He's a left tackle. Like, 33-plus arms. Athleticism's good. I thought the tape showed better athleticism. I was a little shocked by the combine performance, but it's not like red flag bad. Like, what Will Campbell did was elite, but he don't have the arms. You get a little less athleticism, bigger body. I mean, again, gosh, you just look at when we're talking Kelvin Banks, the upside, that's what you're betting on. 6'5", 315, 10 and 3/8 inch. He has an inch and a half bigger hands than Will Campbell does. 33 and a half inch arms. That's not elite, but you look at the wingspan. The wingspan, he has a full foot more width on his wingspan, a foot, than Will Campbell. Do you see the difference? Like, he's wide. He is huge. The athleticism's there. Niners had a formal meeting with him. They talked to him about playing right tackle. They asked him about playing right tackle. That means something. He can play left guard. He can play right tackle. He can play left tackle. So maybe he kicked Colton McKivitson. I don't know. But the 49ers asked him, can you play right tackle? Like, I'm just telling you. Oof. Right here, Kevin says, Banks and Harmon are there at 11. Who do you pick? I'm taking Kelvin Banks. Because, one, I have Banks higher on my board. I have Banks 10, Harmon 19. But I think that this is a deeper defensive tackle draft. So I am always under the impression, like the law of scarcity, right? If you want to get into economics, supply and demand, all that stuff. Take the elite position that doesn't have depth, and then in the third round, you can get Omar Norman Lott, right? So here's the question. Here's the trade-off for me. Would you rather have Derek Harmon and who's the Anthony Belton, the offensive tackle that's a third-round grade for me, or would you rather have Kelvin Banks and Omar Norman Lott? I'm taking Kelvin Banks and Omar Norman Lott every day. Every day. Every day there. So that's why I would say that. And the fit is huge. Thank you, Ben. Ben's part of our rush team, and he crushes it on research. Banks has blocks 20 yards downfield on the right hash on tape. He's a left tackle. You talk about energy, effort, just freaking goes all out all the time. Flexibility. He's 330 pounds. He lightened up, but this is a big, big, big man. I do wish the athleticism was a little bit more, but you watch him against Mason Graham in the run game. He won every rep, because Mason Graham played everywhere. You watch him block down on Mason Graham. He won every rep, every single one. So I don't know. Certain games get stuck in people's heads, and he had a bad game against Georgia. There is no doubt about that. There's no doubt. But you watch him against Texas A&M? Come on, man. Shut them both down. Shut Samar Stewart and Skorton down. Like, he's had great games. You watch him against Landon Jackson. Shut him down. He can play against elite guys. He struggled against Georgia. I have to give you that. Next up, and probably my number one tackle, that's Armon Mempu. I would love that. He's the fifth player on my board, just clean. If you are a let's check the box guy, he checks everything. Athleticism, size, length, tape, experience, personality, what it doesn't matter. Armon Mempu is clean as hell. I don't think that there is any way in hell he is there at 11. I think he could go as high as pick 4. I don't know, maybe even higher. Like, I would not be shocked if the Patriots took him at pick 4. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't be shocked if the Jags took him. I wouldn't be shocked if the Vegas took him. Every single team has Armon Mempu on their board. So if they don't get their huge positional value, Armon Mempu is going to be the pick. He could go to every single team in the NFL. He's on every single team's board. Every single one. As a tackle, guard, doesn't matter. He's just too damn clean. He's number 5 on my big board because so many guys I just bumped down because of injuries or not experience or whatever. No. This dude is the cleanest draft profile. Before the combine, I had Tyler Booker as the cleanest player in the draft, but then he had like some of the worst athleticism ever, one of the worst combine performances ever. He's still a damn good player, but you saw why he's only a guard only. Armon Mempu can play all 5 spots. He is now probably the safest player in this draft. And, man, he's just so good. I would love that pick. I don't think Niners have a chance at him. And then the last player I would love is Mason Graham. He's number 3 on my big board. If he falls to 7, you trade up. I do not want to get rid of third round picks at all. The third round is my favorite, but if you can get Mason Graham, biggest position of need, top three player in this draft, elite production over several years, wins a myriad of ways, clean, 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 clean. Yeah, the athleticism, the body type's not exactly what you want, but the tape fits. The tape is so good against everybody. And then my favorite thing that I would love is a trade back, but that's not a player. So those are my five categories. Whew. That was a lot. That was a lot. Yeah, I didn't put Abdul Carter. There's 0% chance. I would love that, obviously. Travis Hunter. I don't think I would love Travis Hunter. I think that he's an elite player. I want trenches. I would love Travis Hunter. I would love Travis Hunter. I think he's awesome. I would. I just don't think. Those are two guys that just have zero chance of falling. If you could trade back, that would be the ideal one. Oh, man, this is a fun draft. I'm very excited. And again, I didn't even include Trey Amos, who I think is involved in the first round. He would be under picks I would not like, but that's this draft where you have so many guys. Nobody, the Niners have so many damn holes because they sat out free agency. They just didn't address any starting position. You didn't get one starter in free agency. That is, you might be the only team in the NFL that did not get one starter in free agency. You completely punted it for so that, you know, you want a roster reset, Jed York money, whatever else, however you want to frame it. And people get mad every time I say this. You didn't get one starter, not one. You got a tight end two. You got a quarterback two. And you got some special team safeties. That's it. You did nothing. So now the 49ers, you could go anywhere. You need defensive tackles, defensive ends, linebackers, corners. You need a safety. You need a wide receiver. You need a tackle. You need a guard. You need everything. And that's why this list is so dang long. Ah, right here. Matt, taking Banks, the third best lineman at 11 is crazy. Man, my axiom. What three positions get pushed up every single year? Offensive tackles, edge rushers, quarterbacks. It's what it is. And Banks is the second best offensive lineman for me on my big board. And that's usually where the number 10 pick goes. Like here, real quick, I want to look this up because that's an awesome question. How many linemen went early last year? Joe Alt went pick 5. J.C. Latham went pick 7. And Fashanu went pick 11 last year. That's exactly what happened last year in 2024. Let's look at 2023. Paris Johnson went 6. Darnell Wright went 10. Peter Skoronski went 11. So the past 3 years, the number 3 offensive lineman went 11 at the 11 pick the past 2 years in a row. So, like, that is just what happens. Again, he's the number 2 guy for me. But what happens every single year, guys? Offensive tackles, defensive ends, and quarterbacks get pushed up. Period. Period. I did not say that's a good philosophy to go. That's all I'm saying. Now, Peter Skoronski, I think he's been great. They're moving him into guard. Fashanu, again, I think he's a good player. They moved him into guard as well. But those are those hybrid tackle guard players. That's who Kelvin Banks is. Whether it's right or wrong, that's what it was. And, yeah, Connerly, I think he's getting pushed up too. I would love Connerly in the second round, but his athleticism, I just can't see Connerly going that early. I think Connerly's a 20s, 30s draft player, but he's going to get pushed up in that first round. He's not a first round player for me, but damn, he is good. Where do I have him? Let me see here. I have Josh Connerly as my 33rd rated player, second round grade, but yeah, I could definitely see tackles get pushed up. Tackles get pushed up. It's not going to change. This is fun. Now, I've got a lot of shows coming this week. We're going to double dip on a few days. It is 2 weeks of draft craziness because I've got to finish my 49ers Rush draft guide in 2 weeks. So my goal is to finish it by the 3rd or 4th of April. Get that to the editors. We have that out by like April 10th, 11th. That's the goal. So I'm super excited. I am super excited about what's to come. I cannot say thank you guys. Man, 2 days away was too long. I ain't going to lie. I missed y'all. Hopefully y'all miss me as well. But if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe, download, whatever. It helps us out a lot, and we're going to be going nonstop. And go get your tickets to the draft party. Oh, Broadway Studios is going to be a blast. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. That's going to do it for us today. Episode number 1,375 in the books. Thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, David Gill, and to all the faithful. Y'all are the best. Until next time, stay strong, baby.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.